thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Ray of Truth broadcast with you. This service comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast.
I can help somebody as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or song. If I can show somebody that he's traveling wrong, then my living will not and my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not I can do my duty as a Christian ought. If I can bring back beauty to a world that's drought. If I can teach love's message as a master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious congregation. We are thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior and our Redeemer. And we're thankful that we can present His message, His truth, on this broadcast today. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will convey it to hearts and make it a blessing to souls. You do see our congregation. You know every burden, every care, every concern. And we're asking you, in your compassion and love, to minister to our congregation, to bless them. We also pray that you'll help us as we endeavor to present your word on today's broadcast, that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us and we'll be able to speak as an oracle of God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Stephen was accused, lonely and bewildered, no one that day would stand by his side. He looked in the heaven and saw the face of Jesus, and he rode him over.
I've never had a prayer
On today's broadcast, our thoughts are entitled, Lessons from the Life of David. And I will read for a text of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. What we have here, Samuel had been sent to Bethlehem to anoint a new king. Saul had done well in the early days of his kingship, but he turned away from God and began to disobey God. And so the Lord was determined that he would replace Saul with another king. And he sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the king. And as we have just read, he did anoint David. And in this lesson, we would like to look at only four points in the life of David. In our study of the attributes of David, we will learn from the positive and the negative examples he gives. Each one of us should be able to learn something from the life of this well-known Bible character. First of all, he was a mighty man of war. David was too young to fight, and after he was anointed king, he did not really assume the office of king for some time. And Saul and three of David's older brothers, along with others, were lined up against the Philistines, and Jesse, David's father, sent him to see how his brothers were getting along, and also sent some food for him and for the captain. And when David came into the camp, he heard the giant Goliath challenging the Israelites to send one man to fight him. And if he was able to slay the giant, then the Philistines would become their servants. But if he slew the Israelite, then they were to become servants to the Philistines. I don't want to go into a lot of detail in regard to this. I'm sure it is a familiar story. But what I do want to bring out in regard to David, and the first point that we want to mention, was that he was not only a mighty man of war, but he was a mighty man of faith. He was a mighty man of war because of his faith in God. David said to Saul, when Saul was objecting to him going and fighting the giant, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. And God certainly did. The Philistine came and he disdained David and mocked him, and told him how he was going to feed his carcass to the fowls of the air. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Isn't that something? What a difference. The Philistine came with his sword, and with his spear, yes, but David came to him not depending upon the little sling and stone that he had, but he came to him depending upon the true and the living God. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, beloved, we have a warfare that we must fight, and we have an enemy that we must overcome. But we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations with every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so we have a warfare. We must fight the good fight of faith. But we don't have a literal weapons, as even as David put his faith and confidence in God. Now, the Lord has provided for us an armor. Let us look in chapter 6 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, in this warfare that we have to fight, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. But notice, we have an armor to protect us against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the warfare that we are engaged in is a spiritual warfare. And the enemy is Satan, of course. And he comes against us in his lying, deceiving, deceptive ways. But, beloved, if we'll put on the whole armor of God, and having done all, notice that now, we can't be half-hearted about this battle. We must be on fire for God. We must put the Lord first, and we must be determined to go through for God. So we, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we are to fight the good fight of faith. And just as the Lord was with David, the Lord will be with us. Now, David was a man of war, and after he became king, he conquered the Philistines, the Moabites, the Edomites, and others. But, beloved, God was not all that thrilled about David being a man of war, not as much as he was in his ability to make God and serve God in peace. Remember, David wanted to build God a house. And Nathan the prophet told him, go ahead. But the Lord said, no. David has been a man of war. He shed much blood. I'll give his son a reign of peace, and he shall build me a house. And so David, although he was a great man of war, peace meant more to God. Living in peace, abiding in peace, meant more to God than his warfare did. So we are to strive and endeavor to live in peace with all men. And again, remember, our weapons are not carnal. We're not fighting a literal battle. We're not fighting a literal warfare. We're not fighting people, but we're fighting the powers of darkness. And God has provided the armor for us to be victorious. Now, the second point that I want to mention is David was a sweet psalmist of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 speaks of David as the sweet psalmist of Israel. And with those words, we are introduced to David, the worshiper. Yes, David was a true worshiper. About one half of the Psalms were written by David, so we are told. And many of those Psalms are Psalms of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God. And we are told to come into his courts with praise, and into his gates with singing, and into his courts with praise. Now, I'd like to read just a small portion of one of the Psalms that shows a spirit of praise. Psalm 100, a very familiar psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. So we are to praise God. We are to worship God. Jesus told the woman in Samaria that the Father seeketh such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship, or worshiping God, is a blessing, not a chore. It is a blessing. What a blessing it is to be able to meet with other children of God and worship the Lord. Our worship must be, I say, in spirit and in truth, to be acceptable to Almighty God. Now, the third point that I want to mention in the life of David is not one that we should follow, but it is something, a lesson, that we should find benefit out of and be able to guard against. And I speak now of that terrible sin that David committed with Bathsheba. And then, not only that, but he had her husband killed. So he became an adulterer and a murderer. And this, of course, was very sad and a very terrible time in the life of David. But if you read in Psalm 51, first of all, you remember Nathan came to David and he told him about a traveler that was traveling along, and he stopped in a certain place with a man. This man had an abundance of sheep and cattle and so forth, but he would not take one of his own to prepare for his guest. He had a neighbor that had one little ewe lamb, and that little lamb meant about as much to him as a child, and he treated it almost as a child. But this man took it, yes, he took it away from his neighbor and prepared it for his traveling guest. And when David was told that by Nathan the prophet, David was angry, and he said, "That man shall die." But you know what Nathan said to David? "Thou art the man." And after David realized that his evil deed was known, he repented, and he repented bitterly. He acknowledged, "I have sinned." Reading Psalm 51, which we are told is a psalm of David, after Nathan the prophet came unto him, and after he had gone into Bathsheba, and here in this psalm he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in the sight of God, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." So David acknowledged his sinful state, and he bitterly wept with tears, doubtless, in his repentance And God forgave him, and he said, "Thou shalt not die." Now, the next point that I want to mention in the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And we read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. Here we see David, the man who sought to please God. And one of the things David is best remembered for is the statement that he was a man after God's own heart. He was called a man after God's own heart because of his faith. Remember, he told Saul and he also told the Philistine that the God that he served was able to deliver him, and God did deliver him because of his faith in God. And then his faithfulness. It is true that David did do the sinful thing that I just referred to, but in an overall sense, David was faithful in his service to Almighty God. And he was a man of devotion. He was devoted to the cause of God. And he worshiped God, and he sought to please God. And his contrition, yes, he is also a man after God's own heart, because he was willing to acknowledge his sin, and he bitterly repented of them. So David was a man after God's own heart because of his faith, because of his faithfulness, because of his devotion, and because of his contrition. God desires us to have his heart as well. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57 and 15. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken and contrite heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So we read in Psalm 34 and 18. Yes, it is possible for us to so live, to so worship, and to so manifest our faith in God that we too can be a man after God's own heart. God is no respecter of persons. God loves everyone, and Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone. And whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So David provides us with a valuable example of the relationship that God desires to have with everyone. And Christ has made it possible for us to do so. Yes, Christ made it possible through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus tasted death for every man, and whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So Jesus made it possible for every one of us to be a man after God's own heart. He made it possible for us to walk with God and to have the blessings and the approval of God upon our life. Remember, in our service to God, don't forget to worship him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thy name is to be praised. So our walk with God includes true worship, heartfelt worship, and praise to him for all of the blessings that he so freely and bountifully bestows upon us. For every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor even a shadow of turning. And we're told even in our going to God in prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have of being a part of the family of God. We're thankful for your love in giving your only begotten Son, and we thank you for your love in forgiving us of our transgressions and giving us a place in your plan and in your family. We pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And you may join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, that's Eastern Time, and 6 o'clock in the evening. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. And again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
If you own the riches of this world, if you had great treasures untold, what would the profit be when you must die? If your name's not in the book of life, I'd rather have my name in heaven's book. I'd rather have my treasures up above.